Hello and welcome everyone to the Art Development Council of Georgia's podcast series on copyright law. This will be our first in a series of many podcasts that we produce for copyright law. Please allow me to introduce our first guest speaker, who just happens to be my wife and who also is a lawyer, Michelle Lee.
Good morning. My name is Michelle Valenti Lee, and on behalf of the Art Development Council of Georgia, I am speaking to you about copyright law. Although my primary practice of law is in the area of real estate, after marrying and becoming immersed in the art world for over a decade, I have developed an interest in this area of law focused on protecting the creative expression of visual artists. I've been happily married to the artist Michael Lee for over a decade, and I have listened to the thoughts and concerns he and his friends have expressed as they create and sell their work. I spend most of my free time attending art festivals and speaking to other artists all around the Southeast. The creativity that I have had the pleasure of bearing witness to is truly inspiring. This presentation is for visual artists, which should encompass most of you listening today. I will briefly discuss how copyright law protects you and your work. You will gain a better understanding of the fundamental principles of this area of law. And like all areas of the law, copyright law is complex, and I encourage you to delve deeper after you learn the basics so you can fully protect your creative expression. Today we will discuss the law that has been in place since 1978. If your artwork predates the Visual Rights Artist Rights Act, please understand a different set of rules apply. On January 1, 1978, an entirely new copyright law replaced the law that had been in effect since 1909. One of the significant changes to the 78 law is that all works are protected by statutory copyright the moment they are created, so protection is afforded as soon as the artist creates the work. Okay, so what is copyrightable? Pictorial, graphic, and sculptural works are copyrightable. The law includes in the category such items as two-dimensional works of art, for example, drawings, paintings, photography, as well as dimensional works such as sculpture and pottery. Work must be original and creative to be copyrightable. This means the artist created the work and did not copy it from someone else's work or plan. An important note for you to remember, your work does not have to be published in order for you to be protected under the copyright laws. You may register your work or a group of work with the Copyright Office if you want. You will still be protected even if you don't register it. So if you're like Michael and you paint almost every day, you are generating a lot of art. If you took the time to register every piece, you would be spending a lot of time managing inventory, filling out forms, and submitting fees. But even if you don't register each piece you create, the work is still protected. Why? Because of the law that was created in 1978, remember, the protection comes into place the moment the work is created. So let's discuss the registration. All works may be registered with the Copyright Office whether or not they have been published. Some of the advantages of registration include low cost, currently it's about $35. You can register a group of art so you don't have to register each piece individually. The registration is legal for 70 years after the death of the artist. So if it's a collaborative work, it would be the death of the last living artist plus 70 years. And this process can be done completely online. The web address for the Copyright Office is www.copyright.gov. As long as you have a computer with internet access and Adobe Reader, you can view the copyright forms, circulars, and fact sheets, and all other publications. You can also request the forms in writing by mailing to the Copyright Office, Library of Congress, Washington, D.C., 20559, and ask for the Copyright Information Kit. This will include the regulations, the application forms, and circulars explaining copyright and the operation of the Copyright Office. Circular 1 is going to be the copyright basics. Circular 2 is publications on copyright. Circular 40 is the registration process for visual artist. Circular 44 would be for cartoonist, and 55 is multimedia works. There is also a 24-hour forums and publications hotline set up for your assistance, and they can be reached by calling 202-707-9100. So now that we have learned about the process, or at least enough to know where to go and the materials helpful for registration, let's discuss the rights of the owner of a copyright. The owner of a copyright, usually the artist creator, has the exclusive rights to reproduce the work, prepare derivative works, and display the work publicly. The right to sell and distribute a legally made work doesn't prevent the buyer from reselling the work. If a buyer purchases your work, they can sell the original art to another person, but they can't make copies and sell them or distribute them in any way. Ownership of the physical copyright is completely separate from ownership of the physical artwork. An artist can sell the piece of art to a collector, but the exclusive license to reproduce the work must be transferred. So here's an example. Michael created a logo for a cosmetic company. It was more of a drawing than a logo. The company owner wanted to use the drawing as a label and logo throughout her marketing campaign. So the parties agreed on a set price to not only buy the drawing, but also to own the rights to the drawing to use elsewhere. The owner of the cosmetic company then had the copyright of the art transferred from Michael with the exclusive rights to reproduce the image however she deemed. So we know the artist's rights exist at the time the work is created, and we know how to register a copyright, but we also know it is not required. So what can be done to further protect your work as you are out in the public domain? Let's talk about publishing the copyright notice. A backdrop here is as of March 1st of 1989, the U.S. joined the Berne Union, which is an international agreement governing copyright. The United States copyright law no longer required a copyright notice to be placed on published works. But by adding the notice to the work, it prevents the infringer from being allowed to ask the court for mitigation damages on the grounds that infringement was innocent. So what does this notice need to contain? It needs to contain the word copyright, or you can abbreviate that, C-O-P-R, or the copyright symbol, which is a C with a circle around it, as well as the artist's name, or an abbreviation by which the artist can be recognized, and the year and date of the publication, or the year of the date of the creation of the work. Be careful using initials, though. The position of the Copyright Office is that initials are usually insufficient unless you are well known by your initials. The placement of the notice should be placed in a manner in which it gives reasonable notice to an ordinary user that the work is copyrighted. It may be placed to not impair the aesthetics of a piece. So we've seen some artists will place the notice on the front of a painting. Michael chooses to sign the piece in oil on the painting itself, but then on the back of the canvas, he will use a marker to make the official notice on the back of the piece. So let's distinguish copyright from another legal term entitled trademark. A trademark is a distinctive motto, symbol, emblem, or mark placed on a product to distinguish in the public mind that product from the product of rival manufacturers. Trademarks are usually registered with the Patent Office for federal protection and with the appropriate state office for state protection. If you are exploiting work commercially, things like posters, jewelry, or clothing, you might wish to seek trademark protection. You also might want to determine that any chosen trademark did not infringe on an already registered trademark in commercial use. Understand that trademarks and copyrights offer two different forms of legal protection. For most fine artists who produce unique, one-of-a-kind work, copyright protection will suffice. If in doubt, you may wish to discuss your work specifically with an attorney specializing in this area of the law. To help find the right attorney for you, you can get a referral from an artist friend. You may also find volunteer lawyers in various groups that can be a good resource when seeking a lawyer with art-specific experience. I know there are a few nonprofit organizations that may have a list of attorney referrals to answer your questions and provide specific guidance for your art business. The most important thing to remember is the law typically favors the artist, and you do have rights. You should not feel intimidated or helpless in making the best choices for your art business. Most of you listening are members of the Arts Development Council of Georgia. One of their main purposes is to cultivate a thriving economic environment for the creative expression and appreciation for the arts through entrepreneurial development, education, and marketing. Joining this organization is your first step in surrounding yourself with business-savvy art folks that will foster your development in the business of art. Use your connections here at ADCG as a resource for you. To quote one of Michael's favorite artists, Andy Warhol, "Business art is the step that comes after art. I started as a commercial artist and I want to finish as a business artist. After I did the thing called art, or whatever it is called, I went into art, into the business art. I wanted to be an art businessman or business artist. Being good in business is the most fascinating kind of art." I hope today's presentation gives you some tools to learn to master the business of art. I wish much success to you as you continue along your journey as an artist while inspiring us all. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle, for joining us today. That concludes our podcast, Series 1 on Copyright Law. This podcast was brought to you by the Arts Development Council of Georgia. Please check back soon as we'll have more podcasts on the business side of art.